Well, good morning. It is good to be here today, near the end of 2019. Who could believe that it's already here? It seemed like yesterday was the beginning of 2019. Blink, we're at the end. I decided I'm going to stop blinking. Time keeps going by like that. Some of you who are parents, you had your kids as little babies, you blinked, and all of a sudden, what? You're in high school? How'd that happen? Blink, you're married, you got five kids, what? My solution is stop blinking. Looking forward to the new year, some people think that they're going to have a much better clarity in the way that they see, because they think, given the year coming up, they're going to have 20/20 vision. They think, oh, I'm going to be able to see the right thing to make the right resolution, and I'm going to make the right plans, and things will all come together. And God is saying that what we need is we need to look to Him. We need to look to Him to show His power in our lives. Because He declares very clearly, His kingdom is not just chat, lip service. His kingdom is of His power. And one of the blessings that Jesus achieved on the cross was He achieved this blessing of us being in relationship with Jesus in order that we might experience His power in our lives. We as people are very frail. As soon as we get a sickness or something, all of a sudden we realize, ooh, I'm not as strong as I thought I was. And God is wanting to step into our frailty and demonstrate His sufficiency, His power, His ability. To have God Almighty in the lives of human beings, that was the plan from the beginning. Now, when we talk about power, we can think of lightning. Anybody have a guess how many volts lightning can get up to? Anybody? I heard millions. It's actually 100 million to 1 billion volts. That's power. One of those lightning bolts hits you, man, you'll be charged for the entire week. You might be a crispy critter too, but that's power. Tornadoes. And we got to guess how fast they can get going? Anybody venture a guess? You are so close. 300 miles per hour. It can make cars airborne. It can rip houses to shreds. That's power. Now, here's the thing. God's power supersedes that. Those things are as nothing, believe it or not, as powerful as they are nothing compared to God's power. And that power is available to us. Not to destroy us, but to make our lives beautiful, to make our lives amazing, to have us be used in powerful ways to touch other people for eternity. Isn't that exciting? That is available to each and every person who clings to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 4:20, as it was read, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." Zechariah 4:6 says, "So he said to me," this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, "not by might, not by power," that is human might, human power, "but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." We're meant to live our lives, not in our own sufficiency, but in the power of the Lord God Almighty. This is available to us, and we can see an incredible difference in our lives. This life is meant to be lived in a relationship with God and to be impacted by His power. How do we start? We need to enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a lamp. The plug needs to be plugged into the outlet. You need to be connected. We get connected through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first step is to surrender our lives to Him, accept Him as Lord and Savior. And here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says when we do that. It says that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun supernaturally. The moment we receive Jesus, there is a transformation that takes place by the power of the Holy Spirit. We no longer remain the people that we were. We no longer remain the people who have these desires just to sin and do nothing but sin. We are no longer those people who push God away, where He's distant and He's not anything to do with us. We have no desire for Him. That person is transformed into a person who loves God, who has a desire to do what is right in His eyes, a person who lives in relationship with God Almighty. That is something that can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's what happens the moment we ask Jesus to become our Lord and Savior. Isn't that awesome? No effort on our part. No working it up. No trying to work our way to God or anything. Our job is simply to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And by God's power, all that stuff I described is ours. God's kingdom is a matter of power. Now, after we receive Jesus, it's not then, okay, I'm going to do this all on my own effort. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to be good. No, it's a continuance of living by His power, His ability, His enabling. In fape, at Cape and Ray, they say that the Christian life is impossible in and of ourselves. It is impossible to live the Christian life in and of ourselves. That's why God in His mercy and grace says, I know that, and I am going to live my life in and through you. I'm going to give you the enabling. I'm going to give you the ability to walk as I desire you to walk. In this picture here, the Holy Spirit is represented as a dove. But he's gentle, He's loving, He's kind, but He is powerful. And you see that represented by the flames there. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside us. And He is there to empower us, to equip us to live the Christian life. God does what is impossible for us. He makes it possible. We need to live by His power. Like a branch that is separated from the tree is dead and useless, so we are without life. His life in and of ourselves. We are merely human and lack the means to have life to the full as God intends for us to follow Jesus. In John 15, 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nada. Zip. Zero. We are very dependent. We are to be very dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we will have the ability to live the life of following Him that we need. John 10:10 says, in the second half, The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. When we're dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, we experience His mighty power to enable us to follow Him fully and give us victories that we need in this pursuit of Him. Anybody here struggle? Okay, there's a couple people. The rest of you, I need to pray for you. No, just kidding. We all struggle, right? But as we lean on Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in and through us, we have victory in those struggles. I have days where it's just like, man, I just feel like this is one really, really tough day. That's where I know I need to press into Jesus and say, Lord, You help me over this hurdle. You help me take the next step. Sometimes we feel, Lord, help me take the next breath. But He is faithful to enable us to have that victory that we need. And then what we experience is this beautiful, abundant life because He is pouring Himself in and through us. And we get to experience God in this beautiful measure that is amazing. But it takes dependency on Him. If I'm holding on to my own strength, my own wisdom, my own wherewithal, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to only experience my own lack as opposed to His abundance. So lean on Him. Depend on Him. And you experience more of Him. His abundance. You'll go deeper in your relationship with Jesus. And that is amazing. God's kingdom is a matter of power. In Genesis 26, verses 2 and the first part of 3, it says, "The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while.'" God gave him very specific direction. God gives you and me very specific directions. Start by reading His word. There are very clear directions in there. Sometimes His direction will come through a prompt in our hearts. Go talk to that neighbor down the hall, just like it showed in the video. Go talk to your coworker out there who's obviously very upset about something. And when we hear those instructions and we actually obey them, God promises that He will bless that. It says in the rest of that verse, after staying in this land for a while, and He says, "And I will be with you." He's in that thing that He's directed you to. And it says, "And will bless you." And will bless you. But God, I want to make sure that I go over to Vancouver and live there. That's my plan. God, I want that house over there, the one with the three bedrooms and the nice jacuzzi in the back and the nice white picket fence. The I want, God's not in that. God's not interested in blessing that. But if you follow His direction, even in buying a house or where you go to university, or whatever, God's in that. And He'll bless it. He'll move in His sovereign power to bring things to pass that He desires for that situation. That's exciting. So if we want to experience God's power, we need to move in His will, in His way. That house that He tells you to buy, it could be because that person you're going to live beside needs to hear about Jesus. And you're the very one that God created to reach that person. Whoa. And I thought it was just about buying a house. No, God's got a bigger vision than that. God blesses his will with his power and his ability. When we're told to minister to that other person, God will supply power in this way. It says in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, it says, "These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe." But God, I can't talk to my neighbor. I can't do it. He goes, "I know that. But I can." These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Miraculous, it means his power at work. Not my charisma, not my good looks, not my wealth, not my ability to do this, this, and this. No, his miraculous power. Here's what will happen. It says, "They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." This is all supernatural stuff. When it talks about speaking other languages, it's not me going to language school and being able to speak Spanish all of a sudden. It means that the Holy Spirit will supernaturally enable you to speak another language that you haven't learned. Even a supernatural heavenly language. God is a supernatural God. And he wants to do supernatural things in and through you and me so that others might be touched by heaven. Isn't that awesome? That they might encounter him. Because he is the one who saves. He is the one who transforms. He is the one who takes the addict and makes life new and gives him new purpose. He is the one who has a broken relationship and is thinking of, oh, life is no good and whatever, and gives them hope and purpose. Jesus is the one that they need to encounter. And when we depend on him and allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us to do his will, people encounter Jesus. God's kingdom is not merely of chit-chat, but of power. Anybody here who has felt weak? Nobody's felt weak here. Okay. Oh, a few more people. Awesome. There's so many times where I feel absolutely helpless. I've had times where I've had to deal with overwhelming situations, and I say, I can't do this. I can't do this emotionally. I can't do this mentally. I can't do whatever. And that's a good place to be, believe it or not. That is a very good place to be. Because then we become the perfect candidates for God to demonstrate his power. It's when we're weak that we're far more open to the moving of the Holy Spirit. When we say, "I got it all together, I'm good," it's like we go like this. And we're blocking what God would desire to do in our lives. But when we're like this, needy, weak, he goes, "Sweet, let me take your hand. Let me show you what I can do in this situation." And then you see God at work in all his majesty, in his sufficiency, his incredible power. We often, as human beings, don't like to be in that position. A lot of us don't like to ask for help. "I can suck it up. I can do this. I don't have to ask anyone else." That's kind of the way we've been trained in this world. But God is saying, uh-uh. I want you to acknowledge your weakness to me, because I want to intervene in your life. I want to show you all that I can do in and through your life as a loving heavenly Father. And when we allow ourselves to acknowledge our weakness before Him, then we get to experience His beautiful, awesome, loving power. And others get to see that. And they get to see, oh, Jesus is the answer in my problem. It's good to acknowledge our weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. There are two versions I'm going to read to you. The NIV says this: "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, that Christ's power may rest on me.' My power is made perfect in weakness." I get to see God's power displayed beautifully in my weakness, in my lack of sufficiency, in my lack of wisdom, in my lack of fill in the blank. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 in the NLT version says, "Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me.'" Hey, I don't hide my weaknesses now. I brag in them. I boast in them. Hey, you know, I'm not really good at talking to people. But guess what Jesus did? I get an opportunity to say that. Now, there's a problem, though. If you and I don't think we have any weaknesses, or we feel we're totally self-sufficient, as I said before, we're closing ourselves off from experiencing God's power in and through our lives. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this: "God resists the proud." It's not a good thing to be proud. We need to acknowledge that we're weak. In 1 Peter 5, 6, there's an antidote to this pride. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." So if we're willing to humble ourselves, we open ourselves up for God to turn our weaknesses into opportunities to depend on him more and see him do more in and through us by his mighty power. It's a beautiful thing when we do that. I go to so many camps during the summer, and I'm there to be available to pray for people and to talk with them. And there's so many situations where I end up talking with people where I feel so weak and inadequate because they're bringing up things that I've never been through. But when I'm depending on God himself, it's beautiful how he will turn that opportunity to speak through me, to give me just the right words to say to those people that I'm talking to, and see them touched by his mighty Spirit. It is a glorious, glorious thing. So whatever situation that God sends you into and you feel inadequate for it, lean on him and let him show his power and his glory and his mercy in that moment of weakness, and let them encounter him. Well, what does God's power look like in different situations? Well, we're going to look at the account of Moses when the Israelites were led out of Egypt. They'd been enslaved there for a very long time. And God said it's time for them to leave that place of slavery and go to a promised land. They were leaving Egypt. They came to this place called the Red Sea. And the Egyptians had pursued them. And they were there to go after them. And the Israelites were in a hard place. And this is where God intervened and showed his power. It says in Exodus chapter 14, starting verse 21, it says, "Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud and threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. 'Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites,' the Egyptians shouted. 'The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt.'" You got a situation where you feel like you're up against the wall? Where you feel like you're being pursued? You're being hemmed in? God is able. Where we are helpless, where we're in a tight spot, God is able to make a way where there is no way by his power. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers." So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Doesn't matter how big your problem is. God's bigger. Hello, an entire army. We're not just talking a couple of soldiers. An entire army. What big, overwhelming thing are you facing? God can look after the entire thing. Not just the little problems. He's powerful. Of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. That is how God rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israel saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. God is powerful. And he wants to use that power in and through our lives. In 1 Kings chapter 18, there's another situation. There's this contest that comes up between Elijah and a group called the prophets of Baal. There were two altars that were to be set up with sacrifices on them. And this is what Elijah said. "Call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God." There's the situation. The prophets of Baal went first. They called out from morning to evening. Zip, zero, nada effect. Elijah steps up to the plate. He says, "Fill four large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood." That's four. Then he has them do it a total of three times, four jars each time. Who here's gone camping? Okay, what happens when you try and use that, you know, that fire pit there, and you put wood on it and it rains? What happens? It is not fun at all. Zero fire. But here's Elijah doing that wet thing and more. Is God able to do what normally, to have happen what normally doesn't happen? Here's our answer. Verse 36, it says, at the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. Elijah is stepping out in God's will. Let's see what happens. Immediately, not from morning to night, immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell down on the ground and cried out, The Lord, He is God. Yes, the Lord is God. God will use His power to take that which is not normally doable in our lives, and He will do the impossible. He is able. God's kingdom is not merely of talk, chit-chat. It's a kingdom of power available for you and me. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. They were declaring the wonders of God in the different languages that the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak supernaturally. God moves in power. Are you and I willing to be in that place where we can be people that He can do that in and through? Last story. This is from a book by a pastor named Jim Cimbala. It's called Fresh Power. And in this particular section, he talks about a couple who had been quite wealthy. They had a lifestyle that was heavily fueled by drugs. And it says that one day, while at a resort in Mexico, Maria, the young lady in that relationship, made an odd comment. Recently, she'd been feeling vaguely empty in spite of all their money and life of pleasure. Maybe when they returned to New York, they should go to church. She said that God seemed to be saying to her, give me your life. And they ended up in this church in the section of Brooklyn. And they ended up going to a service, and the gentleman decided that he was going to be super obnoxious in that service. But despite that, it was interesting as the message was shared, the message of the gospel was shared, God moved. And at the end, when the meeting was brought to close with an invitation to receive Christ, this young man, Michael, all of a sudden was brought to a place of sobriety and realized his state before God. And both he and Maria headed to the front to receive Jesus Christ. Now, they'd been planning to go to a club that night and continue this drug-fueled lifestyle. But here's what the power of God did as they received Jesus. It says the young couple never made it to a club that evening. Instead, they returned to their sixth-floor apartment and, convicted by the Holy Spirit, began an immediate house clean. The building's incinerator chute happened to be just outside their door. And soon they were carrying loads of items to the dump. Nobody told us to do this, but we just knew. First, it was a stack of questionable magazines. Next, it was our music collection. Then all the drug paraphernalia, the syringes, the gold spoons for snorting cocaine, etc., went down the chute. Finally, we turned to our closets. Many items were plainly sensual and needed to be tossed. By midnight, we had put thousands and thousands of dollars into the incinerator. Only the Holy Spirit can move and cause such a phenomenal transformation in a person's life. To try and do it in and of your own strength, you're hooped. I'm hooped. God is able to do the impossible. It goes on to say, in time, they came to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church where Jim Cimbala is the pastor. It says, Michael became an usher in the church while Maria helped with the teenagers. Next, they organized a street ministry, taking groups from the choir and other workers to do outdoor concerts in the summer. In the winter, the same groups would be taken to prisons for ministry. Whoa, what a different lifestyle. Jesus can. And in the end, eventually, the pastoral staff of Brooklyn Tabernacle sensed God's direction that Michael and Maria should pastor a new work. And they ended up being a part of this new church plant. And it says, time has proven that this appointment was definitely what God wanted. We sent 30 or so of our members with Michael to help begin. And the little church grew and grew until it had to relocate. Today it meets in a converted theater and is one of the strongest lighthouses in our city, touching people for Christ in a powerful way. Our God is powerful. When we allow his power to be at work, people are touched by heaven. And it says in this book, the God who empowered Michael Durso is the same God who is waiting to empower us. As the worship team comes up, there's some questions I believe that God wants to pose to us this morning. Will we, if we have not done so, be willing to ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior? This is the starting point, as I said, to experiencing God's power regularly in our lives. Are we willing to live the Christian life via God's power instead of our own strength and ability? Will we live out God's will for our lives? Will we acknowledge our weaknesses and ask God to show his power in them? We'll let the worship team sing the song, and then we'll have a time with God where we can have a chat about these things. Amen. 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 Have a seat. The questions that I posed before, I believe God wants us to consider now in a moment with him. If we haven't asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, are we willing to? Are we willing to live the Christian life via God's power? Will we live out God's will for our lives? And will we acknowledge our weaknesses and ask God to show his power in them? Everybody just close their eyes right now, bow their heads. Just have a chat with Jesus about those things. This is a you and Jesus time. Because really this morning you need to meet him, not me. In a few minutes, I'll close in prayer. So if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to lead in a prayer that you can pray so you can begin this beautiful journey with the one who loves you most. So if you're willing to take that step now, you can pray this along with me. Lord Jesus, you can pray in your mind, you can pray out loud, whatever you feel comfortable with. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I thank you that you love me so much that you sacrificed yourself to do that. Thank you that you rose again from the dead to be my living Savior, so that you can come into my life and transform me by your mighty power. So, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Change me, transform me, make me the person you want me to be. In your name. If you prayed that prayer, Jesus has come in. And he has done an immediate transformation work in your life. Feel free to come up and talk to Pastor Tracy or me or one of the elders about that decision, and we'll help you with the next steps. We'll just pray about the rest of the things now. Lord, we come to you. You've heard our conversations with you. And Lord, we just open ourselves to you. And we desire to be your vessels, Lord, to show your power in and through, that people might come to know you, might get a taste of heaven. Forgive us, Lord, where we've tried to walk in our own sufficiency and our own wherewithal and whatever, God. Lord, we just repent of that and say, God, we want to do things your way. And we just ask that you'd show your power, Lord. Enable us. Help us to be all that you've called us to be. And thank you, Lord, that your power is available to us. And we're looking forward to 2020 and beyond, Lord, being dynamic times of experiencing you in amazing ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Well, blessings on you as you head out. May you keep walking with Jesus throughout this week and beyond. And there'll be a prayer team up here available to pray with you if you'd like. And after about 10 minutes, they'll be out in the Newcastle room available to pray there, if you'd like a more private setting. But glad you were here this morning. God bless you. Have a great day.